No, I'm pretty sure it's you today.
I got the birdie or bogey question.
Oh, man, it is me. Welcome back to another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. Man, it is peak Monday, clearly.
It is.
I knew the whole time I had pick six this week, too. And
413 of these, and we're still making the most basic podcast errors we can make. That's why we're amateurs.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. Hope it goes a little better the next 59 minutes than it did the first minute and 15 seconds. But
We always have fun.
Yeah. Even when we screw up, that screw up 6 years ago, 8 years ago, would have probably cost us another hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're not kidding. You're not kidding.
I am the J-Man. Sitting next to me on the screen is the T-Dog, Tanner Lee. How you doing that, Tan Man?
Doing good, J-Man. It's definitely getting fall weather. It's a little chilly out today, but I like it once my body gets used to it. It's just at first it's like, oh, God, 55 degrees, a little chilly. But
yeah, I had the air conditioning on in the house, you know, really all summer, obviously, up until this morning, and I had to turn the heat on.
Yep, he came on in our house, too.
This is perfect fat guy weather. I love it. Absolutely love it.
I tried to go no heat, no air, but the house was still getting just too cold today. Yeah. So I was like, I gotta bump the heat on for a little bit. So.
Yeah. I always hate that moment when you got to switch it, because that means winter's a-coming.
Yeah, it is. Can't do anything about it. Living in the Midwest is what it is. But I got some birdie or bogey for you this evening. I think it's a pretty good question. I'm going to go, it's a two-part answer. So if you get one, you get a par. Two, you get a birdie. Zero, of course, you get a bogey. Since 2010, two different college football players have finished in the top three of the Heisman Trophy list without ever winning it. Name those two players.
Have finished top three in the Heisman Trophy list twice?
Twice in their careers and didn't win it since 2010.
That's a very good question. Very good question. The birdie or bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located in Rochester, Indiana. Their fall and winter hours are 4 to 9 on Thursdays, 4 to 10 Friday and Saturday. Saturdays over the weekend, their weekend special was dinosaur short ribs, slow cooked in Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola, finished with almond gremolata, garlicky polenta, and grilled asparagus. I wonder what kind of dinosaur that was. We got a little T-Rex action going on, or
T-Rex have some meat on the bone there.
Not in their arms, you know. They kind of have short arms.
Yeah, little short arms. I dare you to tell one of them that they have short arms.
I'll say it right to their face. Maybe they'll catch me. I'm faster than a dinosaur.
Are you a fan of Jurassic Park, or are you a fan of Jurassic Park? Because I know, like, you know, every once in a while I come out with a new movie.
I used to be when I was a kid, I was a massive dinosaur fan. Loved Land Before Time. That was kind of my go-to kids movie when I was growing up. Jurassic Park was a little scary for my taste up until, you know, probably 2 or 3 years ago. I'm just kidding. I like the Jurassic Park series. If you will. I even like Jurassic World, the first one. I haven't seen the rest,
I've seen them all. You can't beat the original Jurassic Park.
Right.
It's iconic. Spielberg, that's iconic, but Jurassic World trilogy, I guess, if you will, has been fine, but I don't know if they're going to make any more or not, but they make tons of money off them, so why not?
Yeah.
So that's a fun little rabbit hole. I don't know how I'm going to transition from that to the MLB playoffs. Do you got any transition from dinosaurs to the MLB playoffs?
Aaron Judge is trying to think. He's more of a unicorn, or Shohei Ohtani is the actual unicorn, but
unicorns never did exist.
They're not a dinosaur, nor do they exist. So,
mystical creature.
Yeah, there's got to be a name in baseball that reminds me of a dinosaur, but I can't think of one.
Well,
Yeah, the championship series are set. We have the Cleveland Guardians against the New York Yankees for a 7-game set there in the American League. And then the Mets and Dodgers in the National League.
And the Mets are up 6-3 in the bottom of the 7th right now.
Yeah, they lost game one last night, got killed in game one last night. They got up 6-0 today, and Dodgers are obviously scratching and clawing, getting back into that thing. Mets need to win this one, obviously. They don't want to go down 2-0. After last year's, you know, Rangers, Diamondbacks, World Series, lowest rated World Series in a long time, very good possibility we get a very good, sort of matchup. It's likely going to be the Yankees, should be the Yankees. And Major League Baseball is licking their chops, hoping the Yankees get in there, and then they'll face either the Mets or the Dodgers. And either one, the spectacle will be pretty incredible. I mean, if you get the Dodgers, you get the two best teams in baseball all throughout the season. And then, you know, the Mets Subway Series 24 years later. It'll be a ratings bonanza regardless. With that being said, I hate three of the four teams, and I'm not a big fan of Cleveland either, but I kind of forced to go for Cleveland at this point.
Born there. You got a reason you can pull for them.
I was born there. I don't think I have ever been to that stadium to watch a game anyway. I was born there, but I hate Ohio State. I hate the Cincinnati Reds. I hate all things Ohio, and I was born there. So
the last time the Dodgers and Yankees have met in the World Series in 1981.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you know the Mets haven't won one since '86, Yankees haven't won one since '09,
Dodgers haven't won since '09,
right? Dodgers haven't won a legitimate one since '88, and the Guardians haven't won one since I think it's '46 or '54. I can't remember which one was the Giants and which one was the Guardians, I think it was '46. Cleveland has not won a World Series, so. Gotcha. A few streaks could be broken, obviously. They still count the 2020 Dodgers, although that was
48.
48. Okay, I was close. Yep. Obviously, I'm not going to say, oh, Yankees broke a streak because, you know, they've won 26 of them.
27.
27 of them. And the Mets are the Mets. So I've kind of hate watched here recently. Really going for the Padres. Padres are up 2-1. Dylan Cease on the mound in game four against a bullpen game for the Dodgers, and Dodgers blew him out. You can take Cease out of the White Sox, but you can't take the White Sox out of him. That's what I said.
Well said.
And now the Dodgers coming in today, had their pitchers had a 33-inning scoreless streak, which is one of the longest, if not the longest, in Major League Baseball playoff history anyway. But obviously that was broken today. I know the Mets hit a grand slam at some point, but
they got up 2-0 and then hit the grand slam.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure Major League Baseball is very satisfied with who was left. There weren't great teams to choose from. It was either the Yankees or a team from the AL Central in the championship series. I'm sure people around Major League Baseball were hoping it'd be Baltimore because that'd be an interesting matchup against the Yankees. I think they would have played in the division series, though. But it didn't happen. So here we are, Cleveland. I think this is their first championship series since 2017, I think. I know they've been to one post-World Series. I think that was a division series against the Yankees. I don't think they have been to a championship series since they went to the World Series. And the Mets have not been to a World Series since 2015. And as you said, Yankees 09. So
yeah. Which is incredible.
Been a minute.
Here's where – this is why you're my baseball go-to guy, especially you're the guy who carries the baseball chat on this pod because – and this is embarrassing to even admit. I didn't realize till last week that the division series were best of 5 games. I thought they were 7.
Nope. They've been 5 forever.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Since they've had the division series. I mean, they used to just be championship series and then World Series. There was no division series up until
I don't even know what I was thinking. I don't know why.
In the 90s, I want to say.
7.
But Yeah, I mean, the NBA went from 5 games to 7. You might have been thinking about that in the first round.
Right.
That was probably 50, well, that was probably 20 years ago now.
Wasn't the first round of the NBA at one time like 3?
I don't remember.
And then they went to 5? I could just be.
I know it was that. 5. Now they have this stupid play-in thing that.
Yeah.
It's no. I don't understand it. Don't even really care to even learn it. Be honest. Don't know.
You should as a Bulls fan because that's all they get in.
It is. Unfortunately, Jerry Reinsdorf started his own television network where Comcast isn't carrying it. YouTube TV's not carrying it. So the only way you can get it is either have DirecTV or get an old school antenna.
Why? What's the business model behind that?
Reinsdorf's living in the 60s still. he's almost 90 years old. He needs to just let somebody else have it. He has no clue what he's doing. He is so far out of touch. And the only thing that's kept him relevant all these years is Michael Jordan. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, an old school, you know, bunny ear antenna. They're not bunny ears anymore, but.
So is that going to be the only way you can watch White Sox games?
That's the only way as of right now you can watch White Sox games, Blackhawks, Bulls.
So our buddy Aaron Lynch will be getting DirecTV then.
Either DirecTV or get an antenna. He's close enough to the city.
Yeah.
A lot cheaper than DirecTV.
Your other thing, right? With antenna, then you can still do whatever else you're doing.
I think you can get an antenna for $35-40 now, and that'll last you, you know, forever. So
there you go.
Yeah, so I won't be watching too many Bulls games this season, which I didn't really to begin with, but they are stuck in that mediocrity bubble.
Yeah,
that,
they are. They
cannot get out of.
I'm just waiting for the Sonics to come back.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's a matter of when, not if. Just waiting for that announcement. Them in Vegas. I've been saying that forever, and then they're going to move Memphis to the east. So,
which they should be to begin with.
Yeah, they should. But
geographically.
Yep. That means nothing in sports anymore, J-Man.
No, it doesn't.
We know that, especially in college sports.
College sports, for sure.
My goodness. My goodness. But you want to get educated today?
Let's do it.
About some sporting events that have happened on October 14th, unless you had any other baseball stuff you want to talk about.
No other baseball. Ready to get this World Series over so the real season can start, the off season where the Cubs won't do anything till mid-February. You know, make me want to pull what little hair I have left on my head out.
Let's see here. Wow, this is a really morbid one, but I'm going to read it because it's kind of unbelievable. On this date, 1862, baseball player James Creighton ruptures his bladder hitting a home run and died later on October 18th.
Ugh.
That sounds terrible.
That sounds very painful.
Yeah. On this day, 1906, it was an all-Chicago baseball World Series as the White Sox beat the Cubs 8-3 at Southside Park to win the title 4-2. It was the AL's first World Series victory. On this day, 1908, the Chicago Cubs defeated the Detroit Tigers 2-0 at Bennett Park in Detroit to clinch a 4-1 series win. 6,210 fans in smallest crowd in World Series history witnessed the Cubs retain the title. On this day, 1909, the Pirates beat the Tigers 5-4, forced the first full 7-game World Series to take place.
Speaking of the Pirates, you know, one of the most legendary homers in baseball history, Bill Mazeroski, hitting a walk-off homer in the World Series to win, I think in 1960. Sean Schreiber might have to fact-check me on that. But they every year, which I didn't know this until like yesterday, they did it. The remnants of I can't even remember what field they played on. Not Ebbets Field. Is it Ebbets Field? No, it's not Ebbets Field. I forget. Anyway, the field they played on back in the day, everyone gathers around and they play the radio call of that home run. So that's a pretty cool tradition they have there.
That's cool. On this day, 1962, Houston Oiler quarterback George Blanda threw for 6 touchdowns in a win against the New York Titans by a final score of 56-17. He was a quarterback and a place kicker. Pretty skilled guy. Uh, On this day in 1965, the Dodgers, LA Dodgers, edged the Minnesota Twins 2-0 in Game 7 at Metropolitan Stadium. It was the Dodgers' third title since their move from Brooklyn to LA. The MVP was Sandy Koufax.
He's pretty good.
On this day, 1973, 42-year-old future Baseball Hall of Fame center fielder Willie Mays hit his last career hit as the Mets beat the A's 10-7 in World Series Game 2 in Oakland. A lot of World Series stuff. A lot of World Series. On this day, 1979, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, scored his first NHL goal.
What year was that? 79?
79. He'd go on to score many, many more until I think his last season was 97.
Dang.
I think so for the Rangers, if I'm not mistaken. 96, 97, something like that. On this day, 1985, the New York Jets retired Joe Namath, number 12 on nationally televised Monday Night Football, as the Jets beat the Dolphins 23-7.
Overrated player in NFL history.
That was coming. That's why I set it up for you on a tee.
And the fact that they beat the Dolphins that night.
Smacked them. Hey, man, the Jets. Monday night tonight, Sunday night this week. All they do
gotta
is
love them.
National televised games, even though they fired their coach already. So, on this day, 1989, MLB's Oakland Athletics pitcher Dave Stewart is the first MLB pitcher to start consecutive World Series openers since Cincinnati Reds' Don Gullett, I believe is how you pronounce the last name, in 1976.
That was the San Francisco Earthquake World Series where Al Michaels called that. He's called some legendary moments. But he says that obviously the Miracle on Ice is number one, but that was probably number two most memorable World Series or sports game.
Sports calls. And this is the day for six touchdown passes. On this day, 1990, San Francisco 49er Joe Montana passed for six touchdowns in a 45-35 win over the Falcons. He needed those six, though, unlike Georgia Blanda. Yeah. When they smacked the Titans, they needed all six of those. On this day, 1992, the AL Championship Series and the NL Championship Series were decided. Can you tell me who won each?
The Blue Jays won American League.
Correct. Over the Athletics, and 4-2.
That would have been the Atlanta Braves.
They beat the Pirates 4-3. You got it.
I think that was a walk-off for the Braves to win that one.
I think you're right. On this day, 1997, who won the NLCS?
Marlins.
Marlins beat the Braves 4-2. How about on this day, 1998, in LCS?
Padres.
Padres beat the Braves 4-2. 2002.
In LCS?
Yes.
Giants.
Giants beat the Cardinals 4-1. On this day, 2003, Chicago Cubs fan Steve Bartman deflect the ball away from Chicago Cubs outfielder Moises Alou. Cubs give up 8 straight runs in the inning and lose to the Marlins 8-3, and the Bartman incident is seen as a turning point in the series. I did not realize that was today. Did you?
I didn't either. I did not either.
Yeah. It doesn't sting as bad, does it, anymore?
No, definitely not anymore.
Right.
I've never forgiven Alex Gonzalez.
We've talked about that a few times on this podcast, but I agree. There was other things that could have went the other way for the Cubs, for them to still come out on the right side of that game.
So. And honestly, I'm glad they did it when I was older to really more appreciate it other than being, 11 years old.
Yeah.
So,
on this day in 2006, who won the ALCS?
Detroit Tigers.
They swept the A's.
That was a Mags Ordonez walk-off homer.
And that's going to do it for the On This Day, but good baseball knowledge there, J-Man. Impressive stuff. And also, if you want something impressive for Christmas time, make sure to order a wooden sign from Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. It is October 14th. Tomorrow's going to be the middle of October. So we're literally going to be
almost 2 months.
Pretty much 2 months. So yeah. From Christmas. So start your Christmas shopping now, everybody.
Sean texted us. It was Forbes Field. And I'm mad at myself for not remembering that.
Wasn't Ebbets was the Dodgers.
Yes, it was the Dodgers, and I was thinking Polo Grounds too, but that was New York.
Giants. Well. Yeah, Giants.
Forbes, I should have known that. I used to play there all the time on MVP Baseball 2005.
And speaking of baseball, and you were saying should have known that, I meant to do this a couple weeks ago, and we're going to do it now. Hopefully it won't take up too much time because we got a lot of football to talk about. But I like to just give you a random quiz, those baseball quizzes every once in a while. Right. And I got each franchise's all-time franchise saves leader up here on my phone. And we'll go through them in alphabetical order and see how you can do.
Terrible.
I would have got three, maybe, right on here. But you're a lot better than I am, so... Starting with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Jose Valverde.
You got it. With
Are you kidding me? That's crazy.
You got it. Atlanta Braves.
Man, there's two guys. Is it Billy Wagner?
No.
John Smoltz?
No.
Okay. I don't know.
Craig Kimbrell with 186.
Oh, my gosh. That's so stupid. So stupid. Of course it's Kimbrell. What an idiot. Now I'm mad at myself. I got the Jose Valverde one, but I didn't get Craig Kimbrell one.
Baltimore Orioles.
I don't even know if I have a guess for this one. What years did he play?
It doesn't say, but I'll let you know he had 160 saves.
Britton. Zach Britton.
Good guess. Greg Olson.
Oh my God,
Greg with two G's. He must have played back in the day because it does show like the logo of every person when they played, and it's an older Orioles logo. So Boston Red Sox.
Red Sox. Papelbon.
Yes, Jonathan Papelbon with 219. So you're 2 for 4 so far. Chicago Cubs.
Lee Smith.
Lee Smith with 180. 3 for 5. Chicago White Sox.
Man, who was their closer when they were halfway decent? It's not Bobby Jenks, is it?
You got the first name right.
Bobby. Oh, Bobby Thigpen?
Bobby Thigpen with 201. I'll give you that. I'll give you 4 for 6. I'll give you that. Cincinnati Reds.
The Red Legs. Stormy Weathers. I'm just kidding. It's not David Weathers, I don't think. Russell Iglesias.
Danny Graves with 182.
That makes me mad. I obviously remember Danny Graves. He played when we were kids, but he was not that good. That's a crazy thing.
Well, the Reds haven't been that good in our lifetime.
That's a good point.
The Cleveland Guardians, Indians.
Is it Class A already? Emmanuel Class
yes.
A?
Yes, 156.
Yep. He is unbelievable.
Yep. The Colorado Rockies.
Brian Fuentes.
Brian Fuentes with 115. They're just miserable when it comes to pitching stats.
He was pretty good, though.
That's better than their starting stats.
Yeah,
that we did. The Detroit Tigers.
Don't tell me that's Valverde, too. Mm-mm. I don't know.
Todd Jones with 235.
Oh, yeah, we had a mustache. Yeah.
Houston Astros.
Billy Wagner.
Billy Wagner with 225. Kansas City Royals.
Oh, man.
It's not 304 okay, for this guy. No.
Man, that's a lot. It's going to make me mad when I hear it. Give it to me.
Jeff Montgomery.
That doesn't make me as mad as it probably should.
Los Angeles Angels.
Talk about futile. Troy Percival.
Troy Percival with 316. Yes, you're up to 8, my friend. 8
correct. That's pretty good. I'll take it.
LA Dodgers.
This one's probably going to make me mad too.
350.
Oh, Kenley Jansen.
Kenley Jansen. Yeah, Miami Marlins.
That's a bad one too.
108 for this fella.
Grenade, that's not great.
The Diamondbacks are the only team that doesn't have in the hundreds on here. They were at 98 when you guessed that right.
Who was the Marlins closer? I don't know.
Rob Nen.
I would have said him for Giants.
The Milwaukee Brewers.
I want to say Trevor Hoffman, but it's probably not.
Dan Plesac.
Oh, it's Plesac. I wouldn't have got that. I would have said that Josh Hader before I said Plesac.
Minnesota Twins.
Oh, Joe Nathan.
Good pull. 260. New York Mets.
John Franco.
Yes, sir. 276. Good pull. New York Yankees.
Mo.
652.
That's a lot.
Oakland Athletics.
Is it Eckersley?
Eckersley with 320. Yes, Dennis Eckersley. Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh, that's a tough one too. Is that Billy Wagner?
No.
Brad Lidge.
No.
Mitch Williams.
No.
It can't be Mitch Williams. I don't know.
Jonathan Papelbon, 123.
Seriously, I would not have guessed that. Twice. Man, they've been around for a long time, and their all-time leader only has
123. Huh. Pittsburgh Pirates.
Why am I blanking on every single closer that's ever pitched for the Pittsburgh Pirates? Kent Tekulve.
Roy Face, 186. Never it's a throwback logo.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. San Diego Padres.
That would be the guy that I guess for the Brewers, whose name Hoffman, Trevor Hoffman.
552. Hell bells himself yeah. There. So San Francisco Giants.
It's not like Sergio Romo, is it?
No.
No. Is that that's not Rob Nen, is it?
It's Rob Nen with 206. Okay. I'll give it to you. Yep, give it to you. Seattle Mariners.
They've not been around that long. This one's probably gonna make me mad. Who is it?
Kazuro Sasaki.
He was good. I wouldn't have gotten
129. That one, 129.
Yeah, that's not many.
Five more. St. Louis Cardinals.
That's not Jason Isringhausen, is it?
Yes, it is with 217. Oh. Yep. So you're up to 15 so far.
Half.
Tampa Bay Rays / Devil Rays.
I should get this one because, again, they haven't been around that long. But they always do the stupid thing where they – this guy has over 100, though, you say?
101.
Huh. Barely. Barely. This one's going to make me very mad when I don't get it. Man, they had some good teams and good pitching staffs. I have no idea.
Roberto Hernandez.
That wouldn't have got it. That was early on.
Yeah, it was Devil Rays early logo when they stunk. So, Texas Rangers.
Rangers would be... Joe Nathan? He was there for a while, too.
No.
I have no idea.
John Wetland.
Oh, yeah.
With 150. 90s. Toronto Blue Jays?
I've hit a wall.
This guy, 217 for the Blue Jays.
Dave Steeb.
No.
Oh, shoot. I don't even know if he was a closer. 217. Give it to me.
Tom Hinkie?
Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten it.
And the Washington Nationals / Montreal Expos.
Expos.
152 for this fellow.
Man, I have hit an absolute wall.
You did. You've done pretty darn good, though.
I don't even have a guess. That's the problem. Chad Cordero.
Jeff Reardon.
No, I wouldn't have got that one. I'm okay with
Reardon,
that.
Reardon. Yep. Good job, J-Man.
I'll take 15.
No studying, nothing. That's pretty darn good. That's pretty darn good. Like I said, I would have got three. Rivera, Hoffman, and yeah. I forget. I think Papelbon for the Red Sox.
Probably, yeah, Papelbon.
The others? Nope.
That was fun. Keep giving me those.
Yeah, I just when I find them on social media, I save them. I've had that one saved for like 3 weeks. Kept forgetting about it. And then I'm like, I got to get it tonight. So
we have time tonight, too.
Yeah, we got some time. What do you want to start, college football or NFL? I never care. So
let's do some college football.
All right. Week 7 was probably not quite as entertaining as week 6 around the college national landscape. But
what were some of your... This week had like the most hype throughout even the offseason. Like, man, I can't wait for this week.
The Oregon-Ohio State game delivered.
It was fantastic. Alabama, again, squeaked one out against Southgate. Mm-hmm. If they would have lost that one, people might have been calling for old DeBoer's head already.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some pretty good games. Tennessee got very fortunate against a bad Florida team. Florida could have gone for two late. That would have won the game for them, and they didn't. Notre Dame handled who they're supposed to handle. Stanford, that's who they played.
Yeah, you know, nobody's really talking about Notre Dame on the national landscape because of that early loss to Northern Illinois. But, you know, like you said, they're taking care of business and starting to smack those opponents. Mm-hmm. And people ahead of them are starting to lose. Now, on paper, at the start of the year, we're like, man, they got a soft schedule. Well, now two of those opponents are undefeated, Army and Navy, in the ranked. I still think Notre Dame takes care of both of them. But yeah, they're definitely right in the playoff mix. So,
yeah,
but nobody's talking about them.
The loss to Northern Illinois did take away any sort of buzz they had because that was a good win going into A&M week one and winning that one. And then all the buzz was just taken out from them after the Northern Illinois loss. But they've now just been blowing teams out. I mean, they obviously blew out Purdue. They didn't blow out Louisville, but they handled them pretty good.
Yeah,
Blew out Stanford this past weekend after Stanford got up. I think they got up 7-0. And then
They did.
Notre Dame went on a 42-0 run. No one's talking about them. It's still Army, Navy. Notre Dame should be able to take care of them fairly easily. It makes it a little more intriguing heading into those matchups. But,
they go on the road this week.
Where do they go this week?
They play at Georgia Tech, but it's in – the Mercedes-Benz dome. So it's not Georgia Tech's actual field. It's one of those situations.
Georgia Tech's not bad. USC's looking worse and worse each week.
USC choked that thing away.
They did, big time. They had that thing won against Penn State. But it's setting up pretty good for Notre Dame to go 11-1, honestly.
Yeah, looking at their schedule, like I said, at Georgia Tech this week, at Navy next week. Whose Navy's ranked 25th right now, 5-0, but that game's played at MetLife Stadium, so where the Giants and Jets play. Then they host Florida State, who's just abysmal, 1-5.
Yeah.
Then they host Virginia, who is 4-2, having a better season than we thought they would. Then they host Army, but that game is at Yankee Stadium. And then they're at USC. So.
The crazy thing is we thought their schedule was fairly easy coming into the season before we knew Florida State was abhorrently bad.
Because they get no Clemson, no Miami. Yeah.
And now after seeing, you know, Florida State go 1-5, they can't beat anyone.
No, they're
so it sets up real nice for them.
Yeah, it does. It does. Elsewhere around the country, Tennessee escaped back-to-back losses against Florida, and I think Florida fans, some of them, breathe a sigh of relief because they're looking for any reason to fire Billy Napier, and that might have been tough to do so if he would have pulled that one off. I'm trying to think elsewhere. One of the stunners to me was Arizona State over Utah. Didn't see that coming. Kansas State survived against Colorado, even though I don't like Colorado, but I will say Shedeur Sanders balled out the other night without pretty much all of his weapons.
Yeah,
so that was impressive.
He's pretty good, and I think he will be a top 5 to 10 pick because
I think he will.
I mean, he's got talent, and he has anticipation, and he has the bloodline of an NFL player, which it helps for sure.
He thinks he's Michael Vick out there sometimes, though, and he's not.
He does. His line's not very overly athletic. Yeah, no. He's not that athletic, but he is a good passer, and I think he'll be I don't know if he'll be a great NFL quarterback, but he definitely will be a guy that's taken pretty early. And I think Colorado's pretty solid, unfortunately.
Yeah, they're at Arizona this week, so that's going to be a big one.
It will be, and Arizona hasn't looked that great this year after having a very, very good season ago. But
I'll tell you, the team that looks good in the Big 12 is BYU. 6-0, ranked 13th.
The crazy thing is they have a Jewish quarterback starting for them. And it was Yom Kippur this weekend, and he played through it and all of that. So it's fascinating, the world of college athletics now, especially for a school like BYU. That would not have been the case, I would say, 5 years ago even, that they would have a quarterback like that.
They have a lot of NIL money, and not a lot of people talk about that. So They host Oklahoma State this week, who's 3-3. Could Mike Gundy be getting some heat finally out there?
He should.
They were supposed to be pretty darn good this year, and they haven't been good
starting,
at all.
Yeah, Ollie Gordon's DUI kind of derailed the season before the season even started.
Yep.
It's got to be getting fairly late there for Mike Gundy. I mean, he's been there about two decades now.
Yeah.
Almost 20 years now. It's been the I'm a man, I'm 40 as well.
That was 07.
17 years ago. So he's been there 20 years essentially. They've had some good years, and they're never bad.
No.
And it's one of those, be careful what you wish for. I mean, we saw with Nebraska and Bo Pelini, it's taken them so long to get back to a respectable state. Here they are looking halfway decent this season, be careful what you wish for, but at the same time, I'm sure it's getting pretty stale out there.
Yeah. LSU survived a home win over Ole Miss in overtime. So
very good
Ole Miss have lost two of the last three.
Yeah.
Texas just thrashed Oklahoma 34-3.
Yeah. I don't know if Brent Venables is starting to get some heat out there.
Job's too big for him, I think.
I agree. I'm surprised they went the coordinator route. Although he was a very good coordinator at an elite Clemson program.
He was, but
it seems like they could have attracted a better candidate out there than what they got.
Yep. So then in the Big Ten, we mentioned it earlier, Penn State came from behind and got an overtime victory over USC, which is huge. Because I was making fun of James Franklin in our group text. I'm like, here you go. He can't win the big one. And then they pulled it out. So shut me up. Oregon survived. Ohio State, 1-point win. They're out in Eugene. That lived up to the billing.
It did.
Minnesota survived against UCLA 21-17. So good. I'll call it a good road win. When you travel across the country, you know, we've been burying Fleck, and they now beat USC, beat UCLA. So they're right back in bowl conversation.
Especially after, you know, everyone's starting to have these conversations of traveling two time zones now in the Big Ten, and the record to go out there, even if it's a bottom two or three team in the Big Ten, that's still a good road win.
Yep. Iowa put up 40.
Yeah.
That's something we weren't even close to saying last year. Smacked Washington.
My uncle, big Iowa fan, texts me. He goes, Iowa overs are a thing now.
nobody's talking about, you know, I, Brian Ferentz was the problem. It looks like
he's a problem. He's a problem. Yeah. They have a stud running back, Caleb Johnson, too.
Yeah,
which helps. But and their quarterback play has been pretty bad. Cade McNamara threw his first touchdown against a Power Four school since 2021. Saturday.
He's never been impressive. No. So Wisconsin is waking up and Wisconsin again. If beating Rutgers 42-7, and maybe Rutgers is waking up a little bit too.
That's a bad home loss, though.
Northwestern didn't see that coming Friday night going into Maryland and winning by 27 points and looking pretty impressive doing so. And then what turned out to be the Big Ten game of the weekend, Illinois and Purdue in a barn burner overtime game. The Illini win the Cannon and Champagne for the first time since 2010.
Yeah.
50-49, a game that saw Illinois 1 point up 27-3.
Yeah. Yeah. The third quarter, I think that entire defense moved on to Michigan this week. And maybe Ryan Walters is a good play caller. And insane to see a defensive coordinator's entire career, defensive sort of head coach, just took over play calling. It worked pretty well. Now, he knows Illinois' tendencies very well because Illinois' defensive coordinator was his protege and defensive backs coach there.
Right.
He simplified the playbook and it worked for him.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. Yeah. And what's funny is they ran some better looking formations and some trick plays, some entertaining things. I'm like, where's this been? Not only this year, but last year. Just rolling Ryan Brown out of the pocket a little bit. And Ryan Brown's running ability really opened things up for the offense. For sure. Kid looked good in his first start. Like I said, it could be a flash in the pan, 1 week thing, but he is starting against Oregon Friday night. They don't know Hudson Card's availability anyways yet, but I think if after that performance, if he would have went to Hudson Card, the fan base would have been even more pissed off than they already am. Because Ryan Brown did something no Purdue quarterback had done in 50 years. That was pass for over 200 yards, run for over 100 yards in the same game.
Purdue crazy quarterback had done that for 50 years. He had 9 passing yards at halftime.
Yeah. So, defense touchdown helped. A few things going Purdue's way. Of course, an onside kick. And then there was 2 controversial calls with a potential targeting by Kydren Jenkins that was called not targeting, and then a potential fumble by Altmaier that was called down, and then Illinois went on to kick the game-time field goal going to overtime. Illinois scores the first play of overtime. I told my wife, ball game. I knew it right when we went into overtime. Purdue's got no chance because you know how it is. Height of emotions when you think you have the game won, then somebody ties it, then you got to go into overtime. But then Purdue scores, and I knew – just knew Ryan Walters was going to go for 2. Mm-hmm. I think I'm the only Purdue fan still that's disappointed they went for 2, but that's just because I'm a conservative. Yeah. I understand it on the road. You're 1-4, got nothing to lose. And supposedly he told Jason Simmons earlier in the game, if we happen to tie this thing up and it goes into overtime, we're going for 2. Mm-hmm. It was planned for a while. Just the play call didn't work. Illinois got in there, sacked Ryan Brown, which, Ryan, you got to check that thing up. You just got to check it up and see if you can get a penalty or maybe somebody miraculously catches the ball. But in the end, entertaining ball game.
It really was.
It was funny to see the Twitter reactions on both sides. The Illinois fans going from on to Michigan to, oh, my God.
Yeah.
For Purdue fans like me saying clean house to, oh, my God. So it was pretty entertaining. But it's been a long time since I had trouble breathing from nervousness and anxiety in a Purdue football game, and felt good to get back to that, even if it was just for a week.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And Ryan Walters, by the way, I meant to say this. He said today in his press conference, they asked him, when did you decide to call the plays? He said at 2:30 in the morning on Thursday, this past week.
Wow. Yep. That's crazy.
He had been spending more and more time with the offense, even in the previous week, going into Wisconsin, trying to learn the vocab and everything. And he said he didn't feel confident enough going to Wisconsin to spit out the plays fast enough because he did play quarterback. He was a high school quarterback. He went to Colorado, University of Colorado, to be a quarterback, switching to defensive back while he was there. So he has familiarity with that. But he said he's got to continue to call the plays. So, hey, if you're going to go down swinging. They fought. That's all I can ask for him to do. But that's pretty bad. I've thought about this morning. It's pretty bad when the state of Purdue football program, when I'm happy they showed fight against Illinois. And I'm not saying that again.
Seriously.
Oregon, Ohio State. And Illinois is having a good year. They're ranked. I'm not meaning that, but they're a program Purdue's supposed to be on even playing field with. And that just shows you Purdue's pretty far away from that. So it kind of its reality sets in.
Yeah. Luke Altmyer, I think, is the best quarterback Illinois had since Kirk Kittner.
Yeah, he's a stud. He made some good plays. He's tough. He's tough.
It is interesting. One advantage that college teams have over NFL teams is, you know, NFL teams have to put out an injury report pretty much starting Tuesday of who practiced, all that. Illinois didn't get a whiff that Hudson Card could potentially not play until Thursday night, so they had a day.
Nothing was out there,
So I heard the rumor on Twitter, and I texted you guys, and you guys hadn't really heard anything yet either.
Nothing was out there,
And then it ended up coming to fruition. Of course, the rumor was he hurt his shoulder or something. He ends up being in concussion protocol.
But, which, if I think back to Wisconsin, he smacked his head pretty good in the fourth quarter there. So,
right.
I'm assuming that happened in the game, not practice. So,
you would think a quarterback shouldn't be getting a concussion in practice.
No, they shouldn't be. But unless when I was a manager, I saw some idiots hit the quarterback when the jersey was on and start fights. So
I bet it did.
But last thing I want to say about the game, I mean, as well as the offense played, the defense was terrible. And you score 49 points. I don't care what level of football, that should be good enough to win a football game in a
way. That was the first time in Illinois history they'd given up 49 or more and won. Which they've given up 49 or more a lot in their history too. And that was the first time they ever won it. I did terrible in pick 'em last week. I got 3 of the 7 games correctly. I assume you beat me. Now, when we switch to the NFL,
I don't know because I did. I went with USC and UCLA.
That's a good point. Maybe we washed.
I don't know. I didn't keep track. I never keep track.
NFL, I have not missed a single game yet, and I wish I would have thrown $5 on a parlay.
Yeah, no kidding.
I didn't. we get Friday night. You love the Friday night games at Purdue, don't you?
I love them so much, I'm not going.
You're not going. You've decided
I'm not going. I gave my tickets away.
Oregon at Purdue.
Oregon's 27.5-point favorite. If Purdue can keep it within 20, I'm calling it a moral victory, and I'll be very excited. Purdue's pulling out some new alternate uniforms that already leaked thanks to College Football 25 like a month ago, and I don't think Purdue's pleased about that at all because Purdue hadn't even dropped them or anything yet because it was leaked. Yeah. But Oregon covers this. Maybe Oregon comes in hungover, but they're too fast, too good. Yeah. Dan Lanning knows crazy things can happen in a night game at Ross State, but this isn't your typical spoiler makers team. I hope I'm wrong. Just don't even see a big competitor.
You would rather play them at like noon on Saturday where they have that little, two-hour time difference hangover. Yes. The fact that it's a night game helps them out a little bit. It is a Friday night. Yep. But give me Oregon for 7.
Yeah, Oregon's for 7 as well. Sorry.
Nebraska at Indiana.
Yeah, big one for IU. IU 6.5-point favorites, ranked 16th. Barstool is taking their game day like show on the road to Bloomington this week. Well, I'm taking the Huskers, and I am taking them for 2.
I'm taking Nebraska as well for 1, though. But I just feel like IU coming in off a bye. Which
Illinois was a bye too, though. Nebraska.
That is a good point. Both teams coming off a bye. But I just think Nebraska's a little better. Wisconsin at Northwestern.
Yeah, Wisconsin 7-point favorite, and I like them for 4.
I have Wisconsin for 3. UCLA at Rutgers.
I think Rutgers bounces back. Rutgers for 3, but they're only 4-point favorites.
I have Rutgers for 6. I just think UCLA is bad. Michigan at Illinois.
Number 24 at number 22. Give me Michigan for 1.
This will be the J Man's Book It prediction of the week. 100th anniversary of the Galloping Ghost Red Grange. New uniform or different uniforms, 230 CBS. It's a sellout, and they don't have too many of those at Illinois. With that being said, after watching Illinois' defense on Saturday, I think Michigan runs all over them. Illinois' front 7 on defense is miserably bad. Give me Michigan for 2. J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering of Travis Watchering Insurance Agency. I think that's it.
Yeah, he got back with me today. Things become official in November, so we'll have a new read.
Life, home, auto, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance.
Yeah, you moved your win quota up from 8 to 10, letting 10 J-Man Show Nation know now. For J-Man to jump on the Illinois bandwagon, not 8 anymore, now it's 10.
They beat Michigan. They'll lose the next week to Oregon, but then they'll likely be favored in the Final 4 against Minnesota, Rutgers, Michigan State, and Northwestern. which that
and
would
be I wish Purdue had that schedule. Very I know easy. Purdue's bad, but
yeah.
Purdue's got six games left, and three of them are against number 2, 3, and 4 ranked in the country.
Yeah, that's not fun. That is not fun. that will be Illinois next year, though. I think they have Oregon, yeah. USC, Michigan, and Ohio State. So yeah. USC at Maryland.
I like the Trojans for 6.
I have USC for 5. Iowa at Michigan State.
Hawkeyes for 5.
I have the Hawkeyes for 4.
Let's skip top 25 so we can get to NFL because we only got 10 minutes left. And I pick 6 still.
Pick 6 real quick, starting with Will Howard.
Yeah, pretty dumb decision there at the end of the game there, Will, for Iowa State. But I thought he's had a pretty good year up to date, but that's the toughest competition they've played. And he's not in good graces of the Ohio State nation right now.
He took too long, and obviously he took too long. If he would have just taken off running, immediately slid, got a timeout, no problem.
Yep.
Would have been a long field goal, but at least give him a shot.
Yep.
Quinn Ewers.
He's good. I mean, it must be nice to have him and Arch Manning. He dominated Oklahoma. He looked good. He's the real deal. We've seen a lot of other Texas quarterbacks come in with hype and kind of fizzle out, but he's good.
Shane Beamer.
Shane Beamer, South Carolina head coach. He doesn't keep his mouth shut.
He doesn't.
he's interesting. He was a name that was floated around there for some reason by Purdue fans for the Purdue opening, but I don't think Purdue even ever talked to him. I don't know where that rumor started. But.
Yeah. Speaking of a guy that doesn't shut up, Nick Sirianni.
He fits that city perfectly. Yeah, he's an arrogant jerk. I'll keep it not clean because we're on TV.
Yeah. Doug Peterson.
Old Dougie loses to the Patriots over there in London. Walking. He's not coming back.
Yeah.
They'll leave him over in London.
Last one here, Spencer Rattler.
He looked okay in his debut, but the Saints need Derek Carr back. Even though I know you're not a Derek Carr fan, but
hey, Derek Carr.
he gives them the best chance to win. Spencer doesn't. And that is the Pick 6 segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
3 winners, 3 losers. I'll start with the winners, the Detroit Lions.
They're for real Super Bowl contenders.
They are the best team in the NFC, in my opinion. And they hate the Cowboys. Dan Campbell hates the Cowboys. They were throwing, hook and ladders to offensive linemen, have offensive linemen go out as wide receivers. It was entertaining, and it's getting late there for old Mike McCarthy in Dallas.
Yes, it is. Jerry Jones telling people, you think I'm an idiot? That's what he said to the media yesterday.
We do.
My first winner, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, putting up 51 points. Anytime you put up 50 in an NFL game, it's pretty impressive. And that was after the Saints come back and make it a game after being up 17-0. They took care of business, and that's actually making that Broncos road win look better and better every week.
Yeah. Baltimore Ravens, great offense, good defense. Everyone been talking about Washington for the past couple of weeks, and Baltimore's like, don't forget about me here in the DMV. Very good football team.
Yeah, my next winner is the Pittsburgh Steelers taking care of the Raiders, 32-13. TJ Watt is the best player in the NFL, in my opinion. He's a beast. That defense is nasty. And Justin Fields not doing anything great, but he's getting W's. Yeah. Russell Wilson taking that job anytime soon.
Yeah. Speaking of bad news for the Lions, Aiden Hutchinson's out probably the season.
That was nasty.
Broken tibia. That sucks because he is getting close to being on par with a TJ Watt type. Three losers.
That was 2 winners we've done.
Never mind. My final winner, the LA Chargers.
Well, of course.
That's a game they lose in the past, up 23-0.
Yeah.
Denver comes down, makes it a 1-score game. Mm-hmm. Chargers would have found a way to lose it, and they didn't.
They were good with ball control all day. They let Herbert throw more than he had all year. He threw for over 200 yards. Of course, it helps when the best cornerback in the league, in my opinion, gets a concussion, the first defensive play of the game.
I did not know that.
And then, yeah, pass or 10, first play of the game for defense because both Knicks threw a pick, smacked his head on the ground, concussion, probably won't play Thursday against the Saints. Oh, we would be shocked if he plays Thursday against the Saints because that's quick.
It's a quick turnaround.
So that opened up the whole field for the Chargers because he helps shut down one side of the field. So it took the Broncos a while to get used to playing without him. And when they did, it was just kind of too late. But my last winner, Indianapolis Colts, beating the Titans in a great feat. But the way they did it on the road, Joe Flacco gives you the best chance to win. Got to stick with them.
He does.
Got to stick with them. We got to fly through the losers and the picks here. Three losers. First loser for me, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
9 points, lose 47-9. You're not for real. You're always the most overhyped team in the league every year.
Yep. Jaguars, my first loser. Peterson has said dead man walking. Trevor Lawrence, bad contract already.
Yep. Number two for me, Sean Payton's play calling. Open it up. Let your quarterback do things. Stop babying him. You're babying him to 24 passing yards through three quarters. Then you go up tempo, no huddle in the fourth, and he ends up throwing for over 200 yards. So let the kid play. He can make plays on his own. Let him play.
Yep. Seahawks had a chance to make a statement. We said they're the most overhyped 3-0 team in the NFL. They weren't even hyped. The worst 3-0 team, I should say. And now they've lost three in a row. So,
Cleveland Browns, you guys stink. You need to change quarterbacks and you won't do it.
Last one here, New York Giants, again, had a chance to kind of make a statement and scored 7 points against the Bengals.
Yep.
Picks here. As I said, I've gotten every single pick correctly so far. And if the Bills win tonight, I will have a clean sweep, which I don't think's ever happened for me.
I don't think so. I don't think so. That's impressive.
Denver at New Orleans Thursday night.
Yep. Hate this game. Hate the quick turnaround. Sean Payton's homecoming, but Broncos have to have this one. And I think they get it done. Broncos for 11.
Their schedule gets kind of tough after this one.
Yeah, so they got to have the next two. They have to get the next two.
I'm taking New Orleans for four. New England against Jacksonville in London.
Jaguars for three. I think they're bad, but I think the Patriots are worse.
I have the Jags for 12. Patriots are bad. Drake May looked okay, though. Seattle at Atlanta.
I got the Falcons for 13.
I have the Falcons for 11. Titans at Bills.
Bills for 14.
I have the Bills for 15. Cincinnati Bengals at Cleveland Browns.
Bengals for 12.
I have Bengals for 10. Houston at Green Bay.
Got the Texans for 7, and I hate that.
I have Green Bay for 3. Miami Dolphins at the Indianapolis Colts.
I got the Colts for 6. Sorry, J-Man. If Tua was back, it'd be different.
He's not back, though.
Yeah, I know. That's why.
If Joe Flacco plays, I think Colts win. If Anthony Richardson plays, I think the Dolphins win. So I'm taking the Dolphins for 1. Homer pick there. Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings.
Viking fans hate my guts because I pick against them every week. Lions for 1. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
I have the Lions for 9. I think the Lions are better. Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. Eagles aren't very good. Giants aren't
very good. But they're better than the Giants. Eagles for 8.
I have the Eagles for 7. Vegas Raiders at the L.A. Rams.
Rams for 10.
I have the Rams for 14. Carolina Panthers at the Washington Commanders.
Commanders for 15.
I have the Commanders for 13. Kansas City Chiefs at the San Francisco 49ers.
Chiefs for 5. Wouldn't shock me if they lose this game.
I have the Niners for 6. Chiefs are due. They are due for a
loss.
They
are due. That's why.
They've been very lucky so far.
Yep.
New York Jets at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Steelers for 9. Put Rodgers out of his misery, please.
I have the Steelers for 2. Baltimore Ravens at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I got the Bucs for 2.
I had just crowned Baltimore, and I'm taking Tampa Bay for 5. LA Chargers at the Arizona Cardinals.
I got the Chargers for 4.
I have the Chargers for 8. Buys, Bears, Cowboys.
Yep. Cowboys need it. Bears need it after flying back from London. So, which they look good. They look good. Caleb Williams looks good.
He does.
Since 2010, two different college football players have finished in the top 3 of the Heisman Trophy voting without ever winning it. Can you name those two players?
Christian McCaffrey.
No.
Oh, man. I thought for sure.
He was one year, not the other. Not
he
final
didn't
three.
Finish top 3, huh?
No.
Not
his last year in college.
I was hoping for a par. The only guy I can think of got hurt midway through his last year there. Tua.
No.
Didn't
Tua win the Heisman?
Did he? I don't remember.
I think he did.
Whoops. Yeah, he did, you idiot. Man, I'm struggling. The saves leader thing forced my brain to think so hard. I have nothing left to give.
Strategy.
Dude, that was smart. Just give it to me.
Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson.
Luck, I should have got. I wouldn't have thought of Watson. I forgot Luck was in that top three. I was thinking he was earlier in 2010, but he was drafted in 2012. So another embarrassing performance by one of us, and Birdie Bogey. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.